Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
I'm so glad you're with us here on the Clark Howard Show. You know, our mission is to serve you with advice and information that empowers you to make better financial decisions in your life. And I want you to remember that one way we serve you is with free one-on-one advice and guidance through our Team Clark Consumer Action Center. As we've done for the last 32 years, you can have that one-on-one conversation about something that's ailing your wallet, troubling you, decision you're having trouble making financially, or if you're worried somebody's scamming you. We're here to help, and you can see how to get that help 30 hours each week for free at clark.com/CAC. So today I want to talk about how there's a generation gap that's really cool. People that are younger are investing like nobody's business, unlike any prior generation. There are simple ways people of any age can invest. I'm going to talk about that. Something else, we have a new tool at Clark.com where you can see at whatever age you start saving or investing, building that habit, what kind of money that means you're going to have down the road. Because a lot of times people feel like, is this ever going to make a difference? You'll be shocked how enough years are the whole ball game. And I got good news for you as well. Bargains keep getting better. Even at retailers that are too expensive for me to shop at. I'm going to fill you in on that later. Okay. Americans who are younger have been much in the news because people under 40, how difficult it is to buy a home. The student loan debt for people who went to college or trade school. All the obligations that they have. How in the world are they ever going to save money? And weirdly, data shows that people from teenage years to age 39 are doing more to invest than any prior generation. I mean, you go back a couple of generations, and people really didn't worry about this saving and investing stuff because they had what they called the three stools. They had whatever money they saved, they had Social Security, and they had a pension from where they worked. Overwhelmingly, not everybody, but overwhelmingly people had pensions. Today, like nobody has pensions. So now the pension plan is ourselves. And there's been a culture shift that is so wonderful because now investing is approachable for just about anybody at any age, especially starting even as young as 13, people that are in their teens and 20s especially are really into this. Sometimes they're not making the greatest investment choices. I shared recently about my 18-year-old son who took money he'd made and put it in the stock market. And he's not doing it the way I would do it. He's got to do his thing. And we'll see what happens with that. But I'm looking at a chart from the New York Fed that shows people 18 to 39 are saving at four times the rate of people that are in older age groups. I mean, it's crazy that they're doing this and building portfolios. What they're doing is they're taking money they have and they are investing, understanding the long term. So guess what? What percent of teenagers now are investing? One out of four. Oh my goodness. Try to imagine that. I mean, who knew a stock from a bond when you were 15? People didn't know that stuff, right?
It's crazy. And, you know, every generation always says the next one is doomed and, you know, the world is doomed. And
oh, and that the new generation is lazy and they,
yeah,
they blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, this contradicts that for sure.
It is really fantastic to see this happening. And again, as I have stressed for 40 years, and it's not exactly brain science, if a kid develops a habit of living on less than what he or she makes, and they invest some of that less that they don't spend, that they have the beauty of time to create wealth down the road, which obviously they're interested in, instead of just putting it in a savings account somewhere, they are investing. You look at our tool, you look at charts, you'll see when a teenager starts working, money that they save and where it needs to be saved is in a Roth IRA. Money they save will create tremendous financial security down the road. Like years ago, I had this thing before we had all the fancy tools we have now, where we had a static chart that showed that if a kid saved money up to age 22 and never saved another dime their entire adult working life, that they would still be a millionaire if they saved a certain amount of money that wasn't very much, just from having put that money in and invested it, that down the road, they'd be a millionaire. And we called that article and the chart, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Because it was way back when there was a show about called that or something close to it.
Yep, that was called that.
Yeah. So know that investing is how you create wealth, because wealth flows to owners. In a free market economy, wealth flows to owners. Our kids are getting that. We may not have really tuned into that, but they are, and they got something to teach us. We think that we're the ones to teach them, but they got something here to teach us.
All right, we'll go to questions now. This one's from Vinny in Florida. Hi, Clark. What are your thoughts on the velocity banking concept?
Okay, we've had so many different trade names and marketing names for this over the years. And it's the same basic concept. It's mortgages stink. You want to get rid of your mortgage. Usually they're pitched that you can take, let's say you have a 30-year mortgage with 28 years left on it. We can cut that down to a 7-year mortgage. You'll be mortgage debt free in 7 years. So the idea, and this originated, if I recall, originally from Australia, became a thing in Canada, became a thing in the United States, maybe 25 years ago. I mean, we've been hearing about this a long time. So the idea is you pay off your mortgage, replace it with a combo that's a home equity line of credit and basically a checking account all in one. So your mortgage debt goes from your house to this home equity line sweep account. And every time you get paid, your check goes into this account and reduces the balance you owe. And so credit cards, everything are paid through this combo home equity line of credit account. And the idea is if you just look at the math of ignoring your other bills and everything being about your paycheck going to the mortgage, then yes, you can draw the case how you'd pay off a mortgage and 1/4 the time as you would otherwise. But mortgage debt is not necessarily the highest priority in someone's life. And a home equity line of credit floats in rates. Mortgages, as you know, once you take one out, it's a fixed rate for the period of time. This always comes back when mortgage rates are higher. That's why we didn't hear about this for years when mortgage rates were so low. So right now people are like, wow, so I can take out a home equity line. It'll be cheaper than what I got for an interest rate on my mortgage. Get rid of that. What could possibly go wrong? Well, mortgage rates will go down. When they do, people will refi into a lower fixed rate. With this, your rate's always floating. And home equity lines, you're subject to the whims of the market every 30 days. So it's not something I recommend. This is not a scam. I want to make that clear. This is not a scam, but it's not the shortcut it's pitched as being.
Next question is from Shannon in Georgia. How much is too much for retirement? I realize this varies based on lifestyle, but I've been blessed to be contributing to my retirement funds, 401k, Roth IRA, since my first real job out of college. I'm 43 and married with two teens. And then she wrote, in parentheses. Retirement projections and working with Fidelity currently show the possibility of over $10K a month with no additional contributions. We don't spend half of that per month now. We've sacrificed so much to save, but I wonder if I should pull this back to enjoy more of today at this point. What are your thoughts?
So, Shannon, if you want to reduce what you're saving to have a little more fun in your life, that's fine. But I do want to say that if you stopped saving 10 grand now, you're 43, you can figure that every 20 years, your purchasing power will drop by 40 to 50%. So 10 grand would be the equivalent per month, would be the equivalent buying power of maybe 5,000 or 5,500 20 years from now. So it's not as much money as you think, but it is great that you've already saved so much money. So if you want to dial back a little bit and have a little money to treat yourselves more now because you are so good at living on less than what you make, doing the 401k, Roth IRA, all the things you're doing. If you want to do that, go right ahead because you're already so far ahead of the game in your early 40s. But don't believe that what looks like a big pile of monthly money a generation from now really is as much money as it appears to be. It's the opposite of where the mirror says objects are closer than they appear, the dollars are going to be worth less than they seem.
All right, and this one's from Zach in New York. I've always wanted a Rolex since I was a kid, but struggle with if I'm ready for such an expensive toy. It's $13,000 to $16,000.
What about the ones I see for $10 on Canal Street on the Lower East Side of New York? The same Rolex?
Right, no. If I'm ready for such an expensive toy, even though it'll hold value or appreciate and last my lifetime. I'm 30. I earn $125,000 to $145,000 in a sales profession. I have $130,000 in my retirement, contribute 16% plus match to the 401k, max out my Roth, have an 8 to 12 month emergency fund and high yield savings, contribute another 8 to 10% to ETFs in a brokerage account, keep a consistent vacation fund, and travel as much as possible. I own a home well under my means at $875 a month mortgage split with my girlfriend.
Wait, so paying $437.50 a month his part?
Yeah.
Wow.
Mortgage split with my girlfriend and with a paid off car and a very low living expenses being in Western New York where the weather is awful, but the living is remarkably inexpensive compared to much of the country. Is it possible that I'm ready to reward myself with a large splurge if I can afford to buy up front with cash, or am I crazy?
All right. So wait, there's a theme here. We have two people, one after another, who are doing a phenomenal job saving for the present and the future and feel guilty doing any kind of splurge or spend on themselves in the present.
This is like the Clark confessional. I like it.
Yeah, but I don't think there's a confession here. Well, this is like red light, green light.
Okay,
Zach,
yeah.
You want to buy the Rolex for all that money? I have a relative who's really into buying these watches. And as you said, tells me that they grow in value over time. I don't know anything about it because, in fact, I have a friend who owns a fancy watch shop. Every time I see him, I say, which watch would hold its value better, my Garmin fitness tracker or my Samsung smartwatch? And he gets really tired of the joke, but I do it to him every time because he's always wearing something that costs what a fancy car costs on his wrist. But Zach, you've earned the freedom to make that choice. I mean, the way you laid out how you're living so substantially on less than what you make, all the money you're saving, 16% plus employer match in your 401k, you got a year of rainy day, you want to buy the watch? Buy the watch. You know, money is not the God. Money just gives you the freedom to have more choices in your life. This is something that you would love to have. Go for it.
But buy a rider on your insurance, right?
Oh, yeah. So you do want to insure the Rolex, because if it walks, it's a bit of a problem, because you would have devoted all that money you've saved, lived on less than what you make. It gets lost or stolen, and it goes poof. So on that incredibly affordable mortgage you have, your homeowner's insurer can add a jewelry rider that will protect. It has to be scheduled insurance for that specific watch. So I would definitely do that. And coming up ahead, things have been so expensive the last few years. But at the same time, things we have stayed stubbornly expensive. Things we don't have to have are getting substantially cheaper right now. And I want to talk to you about another shoe dropping on that front straight ahead.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Retail is going through a lot right now. And one store that was more in than in could be 10 years ago has definitely been going through an identity crisis. They're a big player. It's Target. And Target is getting hit from every possible direction. First, Target has had a special connection with women. I go into a Target, I don't get it at all. I can go in a Target, walk up and down the aisles, and I buy nothing. As a guy, it's like, I just don't get the place. But women, and you look at who's in there, overwhelmingly women in a Target, have always had this connection. It started with clothing. Target had this vibe of affordable fashion. People beat a path to it. Well, now, Target on the fashion side is just getting pounded by the players that have grown bigger and bigger in the United States. There were traditional fast fashion, Zara and H&M, who are now both suffering because of Shein and Temu. And Target has just been through it with what used to be the thing that really brought women in. So Target is trying to regain its mojo. And one thing I'm sure research shows very clearly to them is people think Target's too expensive. And as somebody who only watches price, I'm with them. Target's too expensive. So Target is launching not a store within a store, because remember, Target experimented for a while when inflation was really high with this bargain corner when you walked in. And initially, everything in there was like a dollar. They were trying to be like a miniature dollar store right when you walked in the Target.
They still have that.
But it's not everything a dollar now. It's just bargain
items. And
then
they had a bulk section for a long time in the back.
So Target now has come up with a new sub-brand, because Target likes its brands, Good and Gather for food, and I don't know what the clothing ones are.
They have lots of different ones.
So now they've got one. So they went completely differently than Sam's and Costco that each have just one bargain brand. Member's Mark for every private label at Sam's and Kirkland Signature for every private label at Costco.
This is from Target, my shirt that I wear. I have multiple for the podcast because I wear the same shirt.
And
I love Target, not going to lie.
And how much was that?
It was like $24.99. But I think I had a red circle offer on it, which is like on the app, they have certain offers, like women's clothing was a percentage off. So I don't remember what I actually paid for them, but.
So these shirts that people say don't look good on me, these are Member's Mark from Sam's. I got four for the price you paid for your one.
Yeah.
But yours looks good and people say mine doesn't.
Well, I don't know.
Anyway, the point is Target's new brand is called Dealworthy. And what they're doing this time is different. It's going to be more like Member's Mark or Kirkland Signature. It's going to be throughout the store. And they're going to be items in all different categories, all different departments that will be bargain priced so that Target, for people that are price oriented, will have items specifically for people looking for that. It's going to be in clothing, beauty products, electronics, home items, accessories. What are those? Those like earrings and little jewelry.
Yeah, they have bags, sunglasses.
Okay. Anyway, whatever all that
ignorant
stuff is. I'm just ignorant.
No, but with
I may
Target,
not be stupid, but I'm ignorant.
That's what right? I always say. You took my line. I'm not dumb, but I am ignorant.
So what it speaks to is that Americans are under pressure in their wallet. And that translates into what happens because a lot of what people buy at Target are those things I talked about the other day. They're want-tos, not have-tos. And so Target is trying to reach the have-to market as well as the want-to get more traffic in the stores, more buying. And I still won't get it as a guy. I won't ever get Target. I won't understand it. But they're not looking for guys, I guess.
I think plenty of guys like Target, and they have nice men's clothing, too. You might want to check it out sometime.
Krista, go into Target, and you count. How many women do you see? How many men do you see?
When's the last time you were in a Target? Come on, man.
I don't even know last time I was
in a Target. I challenge you to go in there, and you count, and look at their men's clothing, because they have some nice shirts in there.
I can't afford the men's clothing in there.
All right.
Do you know how expensive it is?
I hope we hear from men who like shopping at Target.
Okay. Krista, you go in there and like a shirt like this will be $25 at Target. Who's going to spend $25 on a golf shirt, really?
All right, let's go to questions. Catherine in Florida says, I've heard Clark recommend keeping homeowners insurance, if only for the liability coverage. I'm considering dropping my homeowners insurance, but buying a premises liability policy from my insurer. I can get $1 million in liability coverage under that policy for a premium of $127 per year.
That's very cheap. Very cheap.
Is there any reason why that premises liability policy is not a good substitute for liability coverage under a homeowner's policy? Thank you.
So here's what you do. You're with what's known as a captive insurer. So the agents only work for that insurer. And you put that agent to work and you have him or her explain to you, what do you give up under their policy? Because all the language in the policy, they can call it whatever they want. You want to know what are the limitations of a premises liability policy versus the traditional liability coverage. And I'll tell you, one of the differences that I know is that it would only cover liability that you would face for something that happens specifically on your property, where a homeowner's insurance traditional liability policy covers beyond that. Now, 12% of Americans, highest percent of the modern era, are no longer carrying homeowners insurance on their home. So if you've got a third of people who own homes free and clear, which is approximately the number, I would take that math to be that roughly a third of people who own a home free and clear have done what you, Catherine, are considering doing, which is to no longer protect the home. You're in Florida. Homeowners insurance has become a back-breaking problem for Floridians. The insurance market there is way past broken. And so it's tempting to drop coverage for the home, but you worked hard to own that home free and clear. It's a rock and a hard place for people in Florida and other states where homeowners insurance is becoming prohibitively expensive, because you could just go liability. And by the way, people who have dropped, the 12% of people have dropped, if you have no liability coverage, you're facing enormous risk just beyond the loss and value of your home. But know that that is what you're facing. Whatever your home's worth, you're facing the loss of that unreimbursed if you have no homeowner insurance. That's why this is so brutally hard for people, more so in the state of Florida than anywhere else.
Patricia in Virginia says, Clark, my frugal twin, we have been waiting to buy a used vehicle to replace the one that was stolen in 2022. Luckily, while the kids are in college, we have had enough cars to drive. My dear husband has patiently waited as I continually tell him that Clark still says it's the wrong time to buy. Well, this month I was able to tell him that you gave the green light and we could buy his SUV. You should have seen the smile on his face. We had cash ready to go. I am an avid car buyer and do not buy into any of the historic dealer games. However, this time you recommended settling most of the deal online. New territory for me. What your website and podcasts are missing is what to say and how to deal in the online forum. This is very new to me. We ended up getting his SUV, got a great deal on a 2023 with only 2,000 miles on it, but I felt like I got lucky. Can you tell us what to say, when or where to look for this information?
Okay, so interestingly enough, we just did this on a podcast a couple of weeks ago, right? So you missed that episode, but we are in the midst of updating that information about how you shop for a vehicle online, which is much more relevant for the 20% of vehicle purchases that are new vehicles than the used vehicles. The used vehicle process is more complicated, but buying a new vehicle now is so much easier than it used to be if you do it all where you are in control. You are at your own home or office, shopping dealers, getting written quotes from them, and making sure that it includes all fees and taxes that you'll have to pay on the quote you receive. And then you can make a deal with confidence. But when people go to the dealer, they do this every day. You're playing in their ball yard. The home team in sports wins most of the time anyway. In a situation where you buy a car every so often and they sell them every day, you go to their place, you're going to lose every time. And that's why it's about you shopping online. All dealers now in the country have internet buying departments and people who specialize in serving the internet market. And so that's it, is that you're shopping by sending emails to a particular dealer. And if you look at their inventory online, you say, I would like to buy blah, blah, blah car that you have in inventory or SUV or whatever, your inventory number, so-and-so and so-and-so. I want to see what deal I can work out with you on that vehicle. And say, if you're ready to buy, you say, I'm ready to buy within the next 7 days.
And I want an out-the-door price, right?
Out-the-door.
In writing.
All, and then whatever quote they come back, say, does that include all fees and taxes I will have to pay? Because often you'll get there and they'll come up with all kinds of other extraneous charges of thousands of dollars. That's why you want a quote that includes everything that's airtight before you ever go to take delivery.
Brad in Georgia says, Clark, I noticed the warehouse clubs are now charging over $18 for a 35-pack of Coke. Oh. What are some shopping strategies to purchase this stuff at a lower price?
So, Brad, both Sam's and Costco are charging an absolute fortune for those of us who still drink what Krista calls, you call it poison? Is that what you call it?
The diet stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the sugar is bad, too. I mean, you know.
So,
not that I'm judging. You do what you want to do. I just call it that for me.
Okay. That's why you say, would you like a can of poison?
Yeah.
So you say that and that's not judgy?
Well, I worry about your health, so.
Well, I'm still standing here. Okay. So here's what's going on. Sam's and Costco have their standard formula. They sell huge amounts of these soft drinks in the warehouse club size packs. And it's just one of the items they sell. They don't do loss leaders. Supermarkets, on the other hand, and discount stores do offer deals. As an example, Walmart owns Sam's Club. On sale, Pepsi products and Coke products and Canada Dry and Schweppes and Dr. Pepper and all that are either more expensive or less expensive at Walmart than they are at Sam's Club, depending on if they're on sale or not. So I have been reduced to where I never buy soft drinks, pop, soda, whatever you call it. I never buy them at Sam's or Costco anymore. I buy them at supermarkets when they're on promotional, or I buy them at Walmart when they're on promotional. My target price now is between 25 and 30 cents a can in a 12-pack and 40 to 50 cents a bottle in a 16.9 bottle for either of them. I just know what you have found, that they are outrageously expensive at the warehouse clubs. And so that's one item for sure you don't want to buy at Sam's or Costco, because it's a ripoff now. And thank you so much for joining us on today's podcast. Know that we are here to serve you 24 hours a day. We are on social media with our newsletters that are free at clark.com/newsletter or newsletters. We have clark.com, clarkdeals.com. And we are here for you. And as I mentioned from time to time every week, we have free one-on-one advice available to you 30 hours each week from the Team Clark Consumer Action Center, here to serve you in any way we can, where you want to be served, how you want to be served, with advice that you can trust. Because what we're about, not just in my heart and my head, but everybody who works on Team Clark, it is all about serving you with information that gives you more control in your life, more power in your life, so that you can learn ways to save more, spend less, and don't let anyone ever rip you off.